right, Kevin Barker. I guess I'm going to have to fire anybody tonight, do we?
Nope. Not tonight.
3-2. The Toronto Blue Jays beating the Baltimore Orioles at the Rogers Center. Jays will go for the split tomorrow afternoon. A 107 first pitch right here on Sportsnet 590, the Fan at Sportsnet. It's nice to be able, Kevin, just to have kind of a normal baseball game to talk about.
Yeah, I mean,
you got home run, you know, absolutely. You got decent, good hitting. Good hitting. I mean, you know, it's not like it's a flood of offense here, but the Jays cobbled together three runs against a very good team. Jose Berríos does what Jose Berríos does against the Baltimore Orioles by hook or by crook. He controls them. And for one blessed starry evening, the bullpen worked for John Schneider. It's almost like it went the way you'd want it to go.
Absolutely. Well, again, I mean, Berríos is the total package, right? I mean, we saw great defense on the mound. We saw him trying to take the sting out of the bat. This is his, 13th start? That's 11 quality starts now. Like, he's basically doing everything he can do. He knew coming in that the Orioles were killing mistakes. What do? You know, you got to massage the outside parts of the strike zone, right? That's why I think you didn't see a ton of strike ones, you know, against the Orioles. Like, he was trying to take the sting out with the cutters, the changeups down. You know, when he missed, he had to make sure he was missing, and that's why I think the pitch count was going up. The six lefties are hard on him. That's what we talked about today on our show was it's, you know, sort of all about arm side. When the arm side command's good, you know, he can do things down with the sinker. He can elevate the sinker. If they're going to beat you, make them beat you the other way, and I think that was the plan coming in. And, you know, it worked again. John Schneider pulled all the right strings when he brought the pitchers in, and when you're doing things like that and you get some timely hitting, the at-bats were better. I mean, this is one of the better games that they had when it just comes to David Snyder almost had a couple of homers. Dalton Varsho had a nice little double early in the game there. Bo Bichette's hitting the ball hard. He got some, you know, he was a little unlucky there in the first inning with the runner on base. And Springer's at-bats look a little bit better. Turner looks like he's a little bit more on time. Kirky looks like his bat's quicker. IKF obviously having the sort of the at-bats you're supposed to have with a runner on third base. So they were doing some things, Jeff, like they were, you know, having an idea when they walked to the plate, and this is what they're going to have to do. They're not going to bludgeon people to death. They're going to have to do all the little right things, and you continue to have at-bats like this. Maybe you got to see a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. I'm not saying that one game can do this for you.
Yeah, I don't see any light yet. I still think that light's a train, my friend.
But, I mean, look, I'm optimistic tonight. I've seen this up close.
Make one trip to the ballpark, and all of a sudden you're optimistic.
Well, I mean, it's like you see, you know, you're seeing some things that are a little bit better. Dudes are working hard. They're trying to figure it out. And again, I think you sort of follow suit when your best pitcher's on the mound, and you can see he's grinding, and he was really trying to take this thing. Other than the Santander curveball that he tried to go in with, again, that's a veteran guy sitting on spin. You know,
two strike spin, right?
He's absolutely that's what you're doing, and it's, you know, again, that's a really good hitter. Sometimes you got to make the perfect pitch, and when you don't, he makes you pay for it. But other than that, you know, the double that he gave up with the RBI, that's a sinker who's trying to go in against the righty Urias and just sort of left that middle. Again, this is a lineup, right, that's killing mistakes. They're hot, they're confident, and they had a plan. The plan worked. You turn it over to a bullpen who sort of you lining up the right guy at the right time. And, again, the bats were better. They were competitive.
Yes, they.
How many times can you say that from this lineup being competitive?
No, I thought compared to what we've seen in the first two games of this series, they were much more competitive. Dan Shulman made an interesting point during the telecast. I did not know this. But the Jays lineup was 1-for-40 against Craig Kimbrell.
Ooh.
That was a single by Vladdy.
Yeah.
And, of course, Justin Turner, who was 0-for-6. Singles to right field. Kevin Biggio advances to second on a play that was charged D1, although I think we'd probably say the first baseman, Ryan Mountcastle, probably should have had it.
But he catches it, he's picked off.
Alejandro Kirk, who, you know, sacrifice fly. The bat was quicker.
Absolutely.
Hits the ball exactly where he has to hit it, and Biggio advances to third, and lo and behold, IKF, who does make contact, brings them in.
Well, it's been the Jays' kryptonite all year is the runner on third and less than two outs.
Yep.
They've been dang near atrocious at that, all right? It's just getting the ball in the air, and, you know, not having to be so much of a have a at bat where you have to get a hit. It's just you put a ball and play in the air. You do that, good things happen. So again, the at-bats were better. Like they, you got to tip your hat. If I'm an Orioles fan, I'm afraid of that guy in the ninth inning, though. I'm gonna be honest with you. They need to correct that and correct that in a hurry if they want to win a World Series.
Yeah, that's
my mind. It's not Kimbrel.
No, and then you know, credit to the Orioles. I mean, we did see earlier this year where they did move Craig Kimbrel out of the closer's role, and it's just you know, for now, the Orioles will tell you they're trying to get a few things figured out in their bullpen, and I don't think there's any doubt that the Orioles are going to be a team that'll be very active, and I think they'll be active before the deadline in addressing their bullpen issues. And of course, the thing with the Orioles, as we all know, is they're in prime position to address those issues because they're just chock-a-block with prospects. I'm fairly certain in saying that when the postseason rolls around, Craig Kimbrel won't be getting the ball in the eighth or ninth inning for the Baltimore Orioles. No.
Some would say he's the future Hall of Famer. I'm not saying he's not going to be on the team.
No, but he could be
saying ninth inning in the sixth game of a World Series.
They've already taken him out of that role earlier this year. So he's not going to be the closer in the postseason. He's just not. It really doesn't matter whether or not he's going into the Hall of Fame. I mean, he's not as good now as he was when he was putting up Hall of Fame numbers.
Well, he's a pocket guy now.
416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Hey, it's a 3-2 win. It's a winning edition of Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. All it took was for you to come down to the ballpark and scare the hell out of them.
How about that?
Yeah. Brad and Nipigon, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, BNB.
What's up?
IKF, what's up, Turner, is this what Atkins is thinking based on this offseason for a dub? How about that Biggio game-winning run, you know what I mean?
The magic man, Ross Atkins, had it all planned out.
Exactly. But on the more serious note, we've been clamoring for Horwitz, Barger. At the end of the day, it's up to these MLB guys to fill in. What are your honest thoughts on Biggio's spot in this MLB roster? Because this guy, I think, against right-handed pitchers, he could totally fill in, be that left-handed bat, and, you know, slug above 500.
Yeah, I'll turn it to Kevin, is the president of the Kevin Biggio fan club. I think he's a bench guy. I guess he could be a good plan B as part of a platoon at second base. But I don't think he's enough of an offensive factor to be an everyday guy on a real good team.
Wouldn't they have done it already if that's the way they felt?
Probably. Unless this is part of the process.
You're begging for offense. I mean, if he's already on your team, you would have think they would have tried this already. Yeah, look, I don't think they want that.
No.
I don't think they see him as the everyday second baseman or – you know, a guy that can play every single day. They see him exactly the way they're playing him. And, you know, again, he's the 25th, 26th guy on a good team. He's a, you know, baseball IQ other than almost getting picked off at first base. Now, that would have been, buddy, I mean, I could have just listened to Jeff Blair as we're speaking. Man, how would that have went?
I would have been easy on him. Kevin Biggio is not an issue with this team.
No, absolutely he's not. So, you know, you're talking about the 25th, 26th guy, and, you know, again, this is just me. I think every good team needs a Kevin Biggio on their team.
Yeah, as long as you don't have five, which the Blue Jays do, essentially.
How am I trying to be optimistic today when a 3-2 win with one of the best teams in the American League, and you're knocking that down?
I'm not knocking it down.
I need you to stop that.
I'm not knocking it down. I'm being honest. I'm being honest about that.
Positivity would be nice. I mean, we haven't had a positive show in like a month.
Oh, that's not true. We had a positive show 2.5 weeks ago. That's BS. We had a positive show 2.5 weeks ago.
With dudes having some productive at bats and
yeah.
You know,
I'm just saying this is a team that's got like six 25th men on.
Holy moly! Well, I think you ain't telling us something we don't already know.
Well, but
today
it must be said.
It looked like they didn't have that.
They're great. They're the best team I've seen this year.
Well, they're really good when Barrios is on the mound.
I'll tell you what. I know the Orioles. I bet the Orioles are having a clubhouse meeting right now to figure out how do we get this train back on track here now. Good Lord, Gee and Maple, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey guys, I'll try to keep it positive, but I had one comment that I thought was hilarious. Yeah, I could do it. One comment that was hilarious after the game tonight is when Hazel was interviewing IKF, she asked him about JT and how he was in the dressing room, and he referred to him as the fourth hitting coach. Like, I'm totally lost. Last week, Schneider mentioned four hitting coaches. Tonight, I guess it's three. At the beginning of the year, it was two. I mean, I have no idea how many hitting coaches are on this team. Maybe
they're like rabbits. They multiply.
Oh, wow. I just thought it was hilarious what he said. But anyway, I just want to switch it up a little bit tonight.
By the way, since the game ended, they've added another hitting coach. They got five right now.
Be nice.
So, being that it's the 35th year, of the Skydome / Rogers Center, I mean, I remember when it opened on that Tuesday night with Bill Freddy Krueger on the mound for the Brewers. And I don't know, Barker might not remember. I don't know if he was in town at the time, but I'm sure Blair, you remember the game. And, they were going around the stadium and showing you all the ins and outs of it. And it was, quite something at the time. Personally, I've been very lucky. I was there when Carter hit the homer. I was there on the walk-off against Baltimore and the bat flip game. So I've had a lot of fond memories of the stadium in the last 35 years. And I'm just curious, outside the obvious, is there anything for either of you that really sticks out on a personal favorite over the last 35 years outside the playoff wins? Anything that stands out? I'd love to hear it. And here's to another 35.
Yeah, I will. Hopefully. That'll make me, 100, another 35 years.
You're pushing it.
Well, I am. I'll be honest here. First of all, 35 years ago, I would be getting ready for the start of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers season. I paid no attention. No attention to the Toronto Blue Jays 35 years ago. I just didn't. I barely paid attention to baseball 35 years ago. So you're not talking to somebody who is here from day one. The game I remember more than any other game, I wasn't here when Joe Carter walked it off. I wasn't. I was at a Madonna concert. I was working at the Montreal Gazette, and I was at a Madonna concert. I had great seats. I was also probably fried out of my mind. But anyhow, I was at the Madonna concert, so I didn't see Joe Carter walk it off. My favorite memory was...
Even if that's true, why would you tell us that?
Well, why not? My favorite memory was, I don't remember the exact date of the game, but it was in 2015. It was against the New York Yankees, and Russ Martin hit a home run. And we replayed the call in French with Roger Brulot, who had the call of the game. And it was Russell, Russell, Russell. And then, of course, Roger, if you don't know, goes into this, all Quebec is dancing, all of Canada is dancing. I mean, it was a great moment. And I always tell people, the bat flip, I think the reaction to Russ Martin hitting a home run and basically sticking a fork in the Yankees. Like, that was the year, if you remember, you go back and look. I think Russ Martin hit like six home runs again. I mean, Aaron Boone said after the game that basically we were killed by a former Yankee. He killed our year. He wrecked our year. I still maintain the crowd at that game for that home run was almost as noisy as it was for Batista. I mean, the place was shaken because it was the Yankees. That's my favorite moment at the Rogers Center.
Yeah, that don't stand up to anything. 2006, I ended the season being the right fielder for the Toronto Blue Jays with your favorite John Gibbons as the manager walking up to me asking me before the
Gibby.
Game. Hey, Mark, you ever played right field?
You ever played right field?
Absolutely not, buddy. Well, guess what you're doing today.
Right fielder today. Get up there now.
So, yeah, that was my favorite
moment. Your favorite moment, playing right field at the Rogers Center?
No, Yankee Stadium.
Well, No, it's about your favorite moment at the Rogers Center. That's what the guy was asking. Good Lord, man. He was asking for your favorite moment at the Rogers Center. I mean, if you want my favorite moment in baseball, I mean, I could go in. It was Albert Pujols hitting the train in Houston during the World Series, or having Luis Tiant give me a cigar in the Boston Red Sox clubhouse after the Red Sox won. I mean, we were talking about the Rogers Center.
Oh, 2006, if you guys remember, Rogers Center wasn't the nicest of places. You could have a conversation with the person in, like, the upper deck because we were fighting for third place. That's the only thing I remember is you get a bonus if you finish in third place. So we were fighting and clawing, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think Guy wanted something a little – I'm sorry, Guy. I wish I could give you something more romantic, but I really can't. One thing that was really cool is the – was it the Sunday afternoon David Price showed up after the trade and he was pitching? That was pretty cool. That place was electric. I mean, I remember going out to the outfield because I was writing for the Globe and Mail at that time, just to watch people react to David Price warming up. That was freaking amazing. That was electric. That was hair standing up in your back.
I can remember that too. Also, that we were supposed to have an interview with him, and I think he got a flat tire on the way to Toronto, if I'm not mistaken. Remember? And then we had to postpone it for a day, and then
I don't know. I remember David Price being interviewed on our show when he was on the toilet, if you remember, because you could hear the flush.
That was the day after he had the flat tire.
Yes. I mean, again, Guy, I apologize. I wish it could be something more romantic. I wish I could tell you it's where I met my wife or something, but I didn't. It didn't. 416-870. Well, where you met your wife, so there you go. There you go. How come you didn't? You met Hazel there. Well, how come you didn't go there?
It's none of your business. That's why. Okay.
I do like that story about, anyhow, 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. We're in a good mood. Why are we in a good mood? Because the Blue Jays won a ball game. The Blue Jays won a ball game, 3-2 against the Baltimore Orioles. Let's take a break and come back and go back to the phone lines. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. Maybe you've got a favorite memory of the Skydome/Rogers Center. If you do, call us up. Tell us what it is. It's Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Rosso! Le Québec danse! Le Canada danse! Et Rosso! Quel chef-d'orchestre!
All right, that was the moment that I remember at the Rogers Center. The place went nuts. That was the great Roger Brulot and the great Jacques Doucet and the French language call.
And, tremendous.
It was outstanding. So that's my Rogers Center moment. And again, I apologize for those of you who wanted something a little more romantic, but I just, being honest, I wasn't here when it was going on. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. The Toronto Blue Jays, my Blue Jays, 3-2 winners over the Baltimore Orioles. IKF walking it off with a base hit, scoring Kevin Biggio. Jose Berríos, not the greatest we've seen, but because it's the Baltimore Orioles, he kept them in check. And for maybe the first time since Adley Rutschman has faced him, he kept Adley Rutschman under control. A single, a couple of ground outs. One of them a double play. And again, 3-2. The series will wrap up tomorrow. 107 first pitch with Yusei Kikuchi on the mound. And I have not seen yet who the Orioles are running out as a starter. I don't believe it's Kyle Bradish. But I will endeavor to get that to you before the show is over. Do we have John Schneider? We do not have John Schneider. Cade Povich starting tomorrow. So there you go. The Orioles brought up their top pitching prospect today just to troll the Blue Jays. He will start tomorrow. Maybe we're not hearing from Schneider. Because I was looking forward to it. Could John Schneider make it 2 days in a row dropping an F-bomb?
Absolutely.
Tim in Hamilton, you're on Blue Jays Talk. What's up, Tim?
Tim.
Ah, Tim.
The hammer letting us down.
Hey. Can't believe it. There he is. There you go, Tim. I knew you weren't going to let us down.
My apologies.
That's okay. You're not some weakling from Toronto or something like that. You're from the Hammer. You're never going to let us down. I know that.
Amen. Steel town for days.
There you go.
So I think the only way forward is with Barker's positivity. Jeff, you got to jump on board.
Absolutely.
You know, George is coming around. I guess the thing that's kind of killing me these days is hearing people talk about what the Jays should do. And it's like, do they move off money? Well, they can't move off money unless people are performing. But if people are performing, you want them winning for you, right? Like, I heard someone on Bunkus' show say the other day that to get rid of Springer's money, they'd have to throw in a top prospect.
Yeah, you're not getting rid of it. You're not getting rid of Springer's money.
Doing though, like, why would we throw away a prospect? Like,
well, I mean, here's the thing. I'll let you finish, but I'm going to jump in. You know, there's no pressure here to get rid of Springer's
get rid of Springer's money. And I've made this point with this ownership group. There's nobody has said that you got to ditch some money here. It's true if you want to. You know, nobody's picking up George Springer's contract unless you're going to pick up a contract worse than his in return. So if you really want to get rid of George Springer's contract, you know, you're going to have to put something else in there. But I don't think you can, and I really don't think you should. It's George Springer's contract isn't preventing you from doing anything. What's preventing you from doing anything, Tim? And I'll let you come back on here. But what's preventing you from doing? Oh, Tim dropped. What's preventing you from doing anything is the fact you don't have anything in the minor league system that too many people want. And I mean, you're in a Cracker Jack situation here. You've got, who are you going to trade? If it isn't Bo or Vladdy, I mean, you're not going to get a great return for Justin Turner. You're not going to get a great return for IKF. You're not going to get a great return for Kiermaier. You might for Kikuchi. You know, maybe for
the
Garcia.
The guy that pitched tonight, that's the only guy you're going to get a haul from.
He's a free agent reliever. You're not going to get three or four players for him. He's a free agent reliever because whoever acquires him probably isn't going to have him
for
next
year. I'm talking
about
Berríos. Oh,
Berríos, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you would probably get a haul for Berríos. And,
why would you do that?
Why would you do it? Exactly.
Absolutely. I mean,
he's the one. He's the one sure thing you have in the rotation right now. Kevin Gausman's getting older. Chris Bassett's getting older. You say Kikuchi's a free agent. Who the hell knows when we're going to see Alek Manoah again? You don't have anything in the minors that has shown that it can stay healthy, let alone pitch in the majors. So, to me, Jose Berríos is the most untouchable guy in this team.
Hear, hear.
I just think he is. You know, maybe and Bo and Vladdy in that group as well. But I think Berríos is more untouchable than either of them. That's just me. I'm not saying I think they're going to be traded. But if you ask me right now to go 1, 2, 3, who do you think is least likely to be traded? For me, it's got to be Berríos. John Schneider was asked about Isaiah Kiner-Falefa and the job he's done lately, and this was his response.
Yeah, he's been steady. He's just been consistent since day one, really. And I think over the past couple of weeks has been really good. And you kind of want him up there in a contact situation against Kimbrel, who's got strikeout stuff, you know. Just a good day for him with the RBI single. To tie the game up there and then having him up there in the ninth inning. You know, great day from JT. You know, that's a professional at bat there to get on there in the ninth. And then Cavan kind of causing a little bit of havoc too. And great swing by Kirky and fitting that it was Izzy there.
Yeah, and Kevin, you've talked about IKF. And, you know, again, it was it wasn't a marquee free agent signing by the Blue Jays. I think, and I've said this before, IKF signing makes perfect sense if you do something else bigger. If you do something else bigger, it makes perfect sense. But having said that, and he's not a problem this year for me. I don't know about you, Kevin. He might be the least of my problems offensively.
I guess. I mean, he's exactly what John said he was, right? He's a contact guy because he's eliminated the leg kick and, you know, which has allowed him to get the barrel on plane to different quadrants. If you can do that, it allows you to situational hit, right? You need a fly ball. I can do it because I've sort of adjusted some things with my lower half, a little quieter, get the foot down a little sooner, get that barrel a little flatter, get the, you know, eyes directing that barrel to different quadrants, and then all of a sudden you're seeing some balls to the warning track and you help a team win a baseball game. Absolutely. It's just what they didn't do. Jeff, I mean, we've had this conversation that we, you know, almost fell out of our chairs having it. That's sort of, you know, you're trying to fill in the blanks because you think everybody else are going to have career years. It's a lot to ask.
3-2, the Blue Jays have beaten the Baltimore Orioles. Before we scoot, let's take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard presented by St. Louis Bar and Grill. This was, I got to admit, I was watching this one on the other TV. The Pittsburgh Pirates beat the Dodgers 10-6. Paul Skeens went 5 innings, allowing 3 earned runs, striking out 6. He, his first at-bat against Shohei Ohtani, struck him out on 3 pitches, 101.3, 101, and 100.8. And Ohtani swung and missed at all 3 pitches. That was the first time in the pitch tracking era, which is since 2008, that a starting pitcher recorded a 3-pitch strikeout when every pitch was over 100 mile per hour and induced a swing and miss. And then
what happened to second at bat?
Well, on a full count, Ohtani got a 100-mile-per-hour fastball that he hit 415 feet, which was the second-longest hit ball in a pitch over 100 miles an hour this season. So there you go. But watching it, it was a fun game. It was, yep. I mean, if that, Kevin, if that team can, if they can ever this year add a thumper and a little more, I don't even know if they need a little more for a bullpen. I mean, those two guys are freaks. Jared Jones and Paul Skeens back to back in a playoff. I understand pressures of playoffs and all that. That's freakish.
Yeah, the Pirates are actually watchable when those two dudes are pitching.
Absolutely they are.
Yeah.
Absolutely
yeah.
They are. Anyhow, 3-2, the Blue Jays were watchable tonight, and they won.
Your positivity.
There you go.
Keep it up, Jeff.
Absolutely. I'll be positive for another 30 seconds here. 3-2, the Blue Jays have beaten the Baltimore Orioles. They will go for this series split tomorrow afternoon at the Rogers Center. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Laval and Repentigny, Quebec. Eh? Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com, Canada's number one rust protection.